I'm really privileged tonight to again invite two of my very good friends, Margriet and myself, very good friends tonight, the Valdenel. I mean, 18 years ago, Deval led a worship team, a mission team, and he stopped in Pretoria where we planted church. We were still a very small, young church, and he led a team, co-led a team there, and he blessed us tremendously. And a few years later, 2008, Margriet and myself moved down to Tigerberg, and Deval and Danel just got married there and moved there. And soon afterwards, Deval joined the team in ministry. And they've been very good friends for many, many years. And Margriet and myself, I think some of our most vulnerable, most difficult conversations that we've ever had as a couple, they were the people that we chose to drive through to have those conversations with. You need people like that. So tonight you meet them. No, but it's amazing. So I just want to say that Deval, Danel, you are a picture that God showed me about you again, praying for you, is trees planted in Malmesbury. Trees that will bear fruit for many generations. I see in you an obedience in the same direction, integrity. I see in you faithfulness, wisdom of stability. I see in you fruitfulness. I'm looking at Daniel tonight. I'm praying, God, would my son not necessarily lead worship like this, but become a man who contains the presence of God. And your children do. I've seen Maynard grow up, Alvin, young Luca this morning, and our hearts are open. I know that what you share with us tonight comes from a life devoted to Jesus. So put your hands together and welcome them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ross. I love him very much, and Margriet as well, but not in the way he loves her, though. But it's really a privilege to have friends like them, and you know it, every time we come here, every time they come to us. It's something that I, you know, if there's one thing that I do brag about, it's just our friendship over the years, because it's blessed me so much. And it's blessed us so much, and the same as Ross has said, it's blessed them as much. So find people. I'm taken, okay? Find somebody that that has your heart and knows your heart. So tonight I'm really excited, and thanks, Sebastian, for the word. And I just saw this picture of germination. You know, it's just a picture of a little seed germinating, and it was your word. So anyway, I really know that the Lord wants to do something in that tonight. So Danella, I'm going to speak about, oh, this is Danelle, by the way. She's my wife. And we had our boys here this morning, so we could have shown them to the people in Levendeleva. They are really existing and here. And they are amazing, and they bless us a lot. And Maynard has just grown taller than his mother. I am still bigger for a little while, I think. But it's great to see them grow up. And and as I just saw Nathan this morning, I'm thinking, sure, he's going to give Maynard a go as he's going. So then I want to speak to you guys about masculinity and femininity tonight. So we are, living a life of, you know, following Jesus and becoming, like Ross has said, becoming, you know, vessels that is possessed by the Holy Spirit, by which God can pour himself out wherever we go, right? And that wasn't an easy road up until now, and obviously there will be some things still coming. But the Lord has just, in this, that we're going to share tonight with you, really done some things in Danala my life. And don't worry, we're not going to speak about marriage, okay? But many of the things in context of marriage, you know, gets, you know, lifted up, you know, accentuated a bit. So some of our stories will come from that. But when we speak tonight, we're going to just kind of have two, if you want to call it pillars, but it's just something that we chose. So the first one is, you know, submission, and the other one is building. So as we speak tonight, you know, take yourself, put yourself in that, in that, you know, that lane of submission and building, as masculine or as feminine, and listen to what the Lord wants to do in your heart tonight. Okay, so when we speak about submission, there's a lot of scriptures that we can go to, but I just chose two. Okay, we did his and hers. That's just for a great title, but it's got nothing to do with anything. No. But read with me James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. And we know that scripture, and he will flee from you. So there's a submission to God, and then you can resist the devil. But I want to focus just quickly on the submission to God. And then I'm going to hand over to my wife to continue in that vein. So Job 22:21, we find this one. It says, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Now, Danelle and I have spoken about this, at length the last while, because we have reached a certain age in life where my hair is less, yes, but our kids have become, a little bit older. So our youngest one is turning 9, and all of a sudden, you have got a bit of freedom. I know you wouldn't know a lot about that yet, but it'll come, okay? The life that you guys live now, well, I've got a little bit back of that in this last while. I can play golf again, do some things. We can leave them alone at the house and come and minister together to you guys. So it's a great place that we've reached, but as Daniel and I have spoken through this scripture, submit and be at peace with God, and in this way, prosperity will come to you. And it's not like our lives have been easy. We had some major things which Ross and Magritte helped us through. And I will touch on some of that tonight. But when we look at our life, we have got an amazingly prosperous life. In every way possible. Our marriage, our children, the community we live in, our friendships. God has really blessed us, prospered us. But as we spoke, it's not because we decided today we're going to do this. It has been a lifestyle of submitting to God through thick and thin over years that have brought us to this place of prosperity. And it's not about finances. That happens when you get older anyway. If you don't lose your job, it's okay. But submitting yourself to God is the starting point. So I want to read a scripture with you guys. You know it. It's in the context, obviously, of marriage ultimately. But I want you guys to see this picture that Peter is writing in 1 Peter 2 and how he's building up. Because when we speak about submission, usually it gets used, in a marital relationship. But we're not focusing on that tonight. I want you to see the context in which Peter is writing this. And we start there in verse 13 of 1 Peter 2. It says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. So Peter starts by saying, be subject to all institutions. Submission to all institutions. Why? For the Lord's sake. Now, when we think about submission, there's a key that I want you guys to see here. When we think about our South Africa, and especially Jacob Zuma, because it's again there, for those of you who don't know, he spent 2 hours in jail. And he was released again. All right, so now you can go into that tangent. I'm not going there. But the law doesn't say, be subject to all the institutions that are great, that are godly. Be subject to all human institutions. Because remember, where are we going with this? We're going with this to marriage now. And if Danelle had to submit only to me when I am godly and perfect, there would be no submission in this marriage. Because this institution of marriage is also fallible. I am not perfect, most definitely not. And she will tell you now.
I know.
So submission is something that happens in our hearts that brings with it a key. When you and I start to see that submission for the Lord's sake brings with it power. There's a power that comes when we get this. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, okay, read my job, my boss, for our context. Because we don't have slaves anymore. I don't know. Maybe some of you feel like slaves to your fathers and your mothers for now. But servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Okay, so I'm just going to stop there. Submitting to a horrible boss with your heart as unto Jesus unlocks a graciousness in your life towards the people. There's something that gets unlocked because God sees it as a gracious thing that we do when mindful of God, we endure sorrows while suffering unjustly under some of these institutions. Okay, again, if there's things that are asked of you to be done, which is contrary to Scripture, you don't submit to that and do that. Okay? That's just a little thingy there. Before you go and, I don't know, do some stuff that's horrible and worse than that. But submitting us, when we submit to earthly institutions, there's a key that comes with that. Being in submission to God on earth is a window through which the glorious, life-changing power of God can flow. And with that, I'm going to hand over to my wonderful wife to continue from here. I'll be back. Don't worry.
You must be scared. He recently took over the youth ministry in Malmesbury. So when he sees young people, he becomes extremely loud. So when he came in here tonight, he said, "Ek voel lekker." So brace yourself for what is yet to come. I'm less loud. My eldest gave me feedback after this morning's sermon. He said, "You must change your tone of voice a little bit." So that's why I bring in the Vol. He can change my tone of voice. Ross, I just want to thank you for the word that you gave. It just blessed me so much. So just yesterday, I was drawing in my journal, like pictures of trees. And God speaking to me about, he said to me, "You've tended your garden and your tree has grown. Invite people to it." And why I'm saying it now is I want to encourage us to live a life expecting a richness of the voice of God in your life. Like God wants to speak to us the whole time. I'm just thinking about today, not even in my prayer time or in preaching in the sermons. Early this morning, in the morning service, Melissa had a word. And she said two things before we started to share. The one is that she wants to speak about building. And she was thanking fathers for building. And you heard the Vol said the second pillar of what we want to be speaking about today is building. And I just, God, you are so rich in speaking to us. The other thing she said, something small, God shared with her that he's steadfast. Now, 2 months ago, I quit my job after 2 decades. So I was working in corporate for 20 years, just short of 20 years. And I started a small business. You know what I called the business? Steadfast. And it's so special to me. So I'm just sharing these small personal stories with you because I want to encourage you to live a life expecting the richness of God's word and his voice. He's not poor in speaking to us. Our lives are supposed to be rich, 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 rich. We're fluidig. That's on the side. So my job is to talk about femininity. And I want you to think about male and female in the room tonight. Think about a thought that comes to mind when you hear femininity. Now, my journey with this started when I was in my early 20s. Like before that, I didn't really care about femininity. I had an association with lots of dresses, frillikies and fallikies, ribbons in your hair, and didn't really suit me. I was a farm girl. I grew up on a farm, so I wanted to be able to climb over things, and I didn't enjoy dresses. But that was kind of my first thought about femininity, and maybe you're there. Maybe when you hear that word, that's kind of your association with it. Maybe you've been spending more time thinking about the woke agenda, and you think about things like what I identify with. Or maybe you are thinking about it as an energy. So earlier this year, a number of us in the workplace, the female leadership team, was summoned to this 5-session series, leadership development session that we had to do, and it was called FemQ, like in female intelligence, like IQ and EQ, it's now FemQ is the new thing, in the workplace. And what they basically said, by the way, it wasn't really godly what they taught us there, but what they said is we in business, we've come to think about figures and business cases and return on investment, and everything is factual. Everything is like males look at the world. But we need to bring ourselves into the workplace, and we need to bring our female intelligence, which is intuition, according to the definition that they shared with us. The point I'm trying to make is many of us relate differently to the word femininity. Now, I started my career before I was married to Deval. I knew about him. I didn't really spend time with him at the time when I started working. I was 23. And I started working in a fairly man's world type of environment in corporate. And my first office was in Stellenbosch. And it was next to a guy, he already passed, Dan Feldhazen was his name. And he called me into his office on day one for me on the job. And he had a bit of a conversation with me, where I came from, what I want to achieve, where I'm going type of thing. And I was all starry-eyed for this new, you know, I'm starting my work life. And he crossed his arms, he leaned forward onto his desk, he looked me in the eye, and he told me, he said, "You'll never make it. You are too soft." And that day, I made a decision which was not from God, but I resolved that I will make it because I'm not weak. So in that space, I started to believe a lie that femininity is weakness. And I adjusted my life to fit in and to not be weak and to make a difference in the workplace, because I was called for boardrooms. I knew that. I knew that from a very, very young age, that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is where I need to be. But I became very hard and demanding, and I didn't want to be like that. And I realized when I went back to visiting my parents in the family or spending time with Deval, I had to adjust the way that I live, because I didn't want to be so hard and demanding like what I'm in the office at home. And it was like that for quite a bit of time until I realized that, you know, that is not who God made me to be. And that's not how I should compete in the world, is trying to become a man in a man's world. I need to bring myself. And there I was, pretty confused. And I was looking for role models. And I sense it. I actually wrote it on my notes that many of you sitting here tonight might be saying that I'm looking for a role model in that space. And I was thinking of a song by by Jason Upton. It says something along the lines of, I've learned to lead from God's own son. And I want to leave those of you who are searching for mentors. It's good to find a mentor. I knew it was very hard to find one in the workplace that is gentle and following biblical standards. But I could learn from God's own son. And you can learn from God's own son. We can cultivate his presence in our lives. And that is our biggest mentor. That's the way we transform and the way we become who we're supposed to be. So that's what I did. I started speaking to God. So what is femininity? If it's not, I was wearing suits, pinstripe suits, no dresses. And the first thing he showed me, Philippians 4, verse 5, it says, your gentleness has made me great. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near, some of the translation says. And that was my first key. It was the only thing I knew. I said, God, make me gentle. God, make me gentle. Teach me to be gentle. Now, I'm a lawyer, so we were taught to fight. And God taught me to become gentle. And that was my step one. And I also read in Proverbs 31 about that lady. And sy's a woeker vrou, né? She's someone that moves a little bit. And I made peace with who I am and what I'm called to. It maybe looks different to what other people are called to. But I want to be obedient and I'm going to be gentle on that journey. And that's how my story started. And I realized that femininity is not something that I have to become. It's who I am. It's who I've been created to be. The only thing is I can cultivate a lifestyle of submission, a lifestyle of obedience, a lifestyle of surrender, which will make my environment fruitful. But that's the only thing that's in my control, is a cultivation. That seed that you saw, that germination. It's when God places seed within us, the only thing we can do is look after the soil so that it can grow. We can't make it grow. You can't do that work. It's the work of the Spirit. Fast forward a couple of years. We've just been married. We haven't even had children yet. And I joined the leadership team, for the regional leadership team in the Western Cape. And I was the only female on the team. And again, I hit a bit of a wobble, because now I need to be a leader of many people. And I work for Sanlam, and my father used to work for Sanlam, and he was in leadership there, and he retired 31 December 2005, and I started the 1st of Jan 2006, so we never worked together, but I could enter into his legacy, which was amazing. Story for a different day. But now I'm 25, 26, and I'm leading a team of people, and two of the people in that team were people that my father led. So now these are people that they're the age of my father. I grew up with them as family friends in our home. It was Oom Johan. Now I'm his boss. Weird situation. And again, I felt insecure. And I realized that whenever I feel insecure, I go to a state of control. And that's not feminine. That's not even godly. And I realigned. And shortly after that, the regional manager called me in. And he said, Danielle, you know what? You walk the corridors slowly. And for me, that was such a confirmation. It was as if God is speaking destiny into my heart, because he realized that I take time to see the people. I take time to listen to people. I don't rush through things. I value the people. And that is the power of the feminine. We are created to nurture a space where other people can flourish, where other people can grow. And when he started to realize and recognize that, I felt so validated in a way. And then he said, but can you teach me to do that? And it only lasted a short while when he came back and he said, that's not for me. That's for you to bring to this team. And that's what I want to say to the feminine in this audience tonight. If you are in a workplace, whether there's lots of males or not, bring who you are into that space. Cultivate the presence of the Lord, because the world needs us. They need us in that space. So I want to read a scripture to you. It links back to submission. But before I read it, I know, like Deval said, in the context, it's written in the context of marriage, but submissiveness is more than I need to be subject and submissive to God, more than I need to be subject to Deval. Being submitted to God means I'm submitted to God because God said it. Okay, so my primary place of submission is not my husband, it's Lord. It's the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've realized, if you want to submit to something, it's not a decision of the mind. Because when do you need to demonstrate submission is when you don't agree. You know, when we agree, it's easy to submit. There's no one that needs to give way about their views. But it's in the place of conflict where I don't share his view, or I know. No, it's not that I think. I know he's wrong. But then I need to submit. It's a hard space. So that's an emotional place. Then what comes out of my heart in that moment, it's more like a reflex reaction. It's not really a space when I'm like emotionally worked up. I can't decide to submit. So that brings me to a space where I conclude that submission is a fruit in my life. It's not a decision that I make. It starts with a decision that I want to be submissive to God and to my husband. But it's a lifestyle of laying myself down. And it's in that context that I want to speak to you about submission. 1 Peter 3 verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Verse 2 says, then they see your respectful and your pure conduct. There's a whole thing there where if you submit to your husband, you will win him over. So I want you to see that it's not only relating to your husbands, but when we are submissive, we demonstrate behavior that will change other people's hearts. Okay? So when I'm respectful and pure, other people can get to know God through that. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair, the putting on of gold jewelry and fine clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that's frightening. I want to go to verse 5. This is how the holy woman, it doesn't say holy wives, it says holy woman. So it's to all saved females. It's to us that's being addressed there. This is how the holy woman who hoped in God. And that's the first key that I want to leave with us tonight. Is if I want to have the fruit of submission in my tree, the root that needs to be in the ground is a hope in God. Because the hope in God is what makes me secure. And I want to say, don't hope for a job. Don't put your hope in your husband. Don't hope for a husband. Hopelessness is like a dead tree that will grow. And this is my faith tonight, that we will be rooted in the hope of God as holy woman. Why can we hope in God? When we hope in God, we feel secure. because we know that He is looking after us. And there was a time in our marriage where Deval was addicted to pornography. He said it so nicely this morning. He said, "You're not struggling with pornography, you're addicted to it." Okay? It's incredibly destructive. So we got married 2 weeks back from honeymoon. We ended up in counseling. It was a total surprise to me, and I did not feel safe. I did not feel secure. What happened? When I don't feel safe, and I think most of us operate like that way, we control to get into a situation where you're not subject to someone else, but you have a handle on the situation. And it was quickly into that journey where God said to me, like, that is not how we're going to win this battle. And it's a story for another day, and we don't mind telling that story. We've told it a million times all over the country. But I made a decision that day to hope in God and be secure in God, because Deval is a son of God, so God can sort him out. The only thing I can do is I can align next to my husband, knowing that we have a problem and that I can become his ally and point him to Jesus and stop trying to control the situation, because then I remain out of order. Let your root be hope in God, because out of that, there will grow a trunk of fearlessness. Verse 6, if you do good and you do not fear anything that is frightening. And what is important to see there is it's not like not frightening things will come across your road. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, as holy women, if we have our hope in God, when the frightening things come, I won't be afraid. So if you are rooted in the hope of God, the trunk that can grow out in your life is a fearlessness, because you are secure in God. I'm currently reading through the book of Daniel again, and it's just my favorite book in the Bible. And Daniel could be stable and full of courage his whole life, because he knew that God is in control of who is in control. And that is security. That is having your hope in God, having your hope in the promises of God, who will always be true. And then you are secure and you can live totally fearless. The third thing, hope in God, fearlessness, is an internal adorning. Doesn't mean that external adorning is wrong. It says, like, you can put in on jewelry and clothing and those kind of things. If the scripture said that we shouldn't do that, we would all be walking around naked. It actually says, don't let it only be jewelry and clothing. It's not saying, don't let it be jewelry and clothing. Don't let it only be jewelry and clothing. So what is that inner adorning? The holy woman of old had their hope in God. They were not fearful when anything frightening came. And I focused on an internal adorning, the hidden person of the heart, to be transformed and renewed day by day in your innermost being as the Word changes you, as the Spirit changes you. And to get to that place of internal adorning, to that gentle and quiet spirit, it's a place of meekness, and it's a place of seeking God in all circumstances and surrendering to Him. So concluding around femininity, if submission is the fruit in our lives, it comes from a place of rooted in the hope of God, a real fearlessness in our lives, a focus on an internal adorning over time, and that will yield and express itself in a unique kind of submissiveness. And I say not submission, I say submissiveness, because it's a habit, it's a lifestyle of saying yes to Lord, to the Lord, a lifestyle of saying yes to the promises of God, the ordinance of God. And I just want to touch tonight and say that I sense just during the worship that for many of us, maybe it's hard to feel secure in your time with the Lord because of pain, because of hurtful things that happen. I remember when our marriage, when we struggled and we had pornography as part of our marriage, and I had to compete, felt like I had to compete with it the whole time. I did not feel secure. But why was it so bad? It's because it's a plan of the devil to make me not want to trust my husband and not want to trust God. And I want to share with you that when I was a little girl, I went through 3 years of just sexual abuse as a young girl, 5, 6, and 7. And it made me struggle as a grown-up to feel secure in the presence of God, because I just never felt safe. I just never felt safe. And if our hope is in God, our hope is not only in God for the future. Our hope is in God to redeem the past. And it's not something that I prepared, but I was just reminded of it in worship. 2 years ago, we were hosting an Awaken Women's event. And because of the pain in that age of my life, when I was 5, 6, and 7, I don't really remember much about that time. Like, I blocked a lot of what happened there. I blocked the pain, but I also can't remember, like, beautiful things from that time. And I've dealt with this now many years ago, and I really, there's another story around that. But I just had such a longing to remember the beautiful stuff from that time. I had a longing for those 3 years to be redeemed. And at Awaken, like, I can do maths. Yeah? I don't do, like, flowery type of things. But now I'm the pastor's wife, and sometimes you need to do things that you think you can't do. So we're preparing for this massive event, and it's the buckets and buckets and buckets of flowers that's standing there that needs to be arranged. And somehow, one of these elderly ladies, Judy, she comes up to me, she says, God showed me that you must arrange the flowers today. Like, I'm like, you can't be hearing from God. But I thought, how hard can it be? You know, I started to cut them in different sizes and try to put them in pots. And as I was arranging those flowers, I remembered that I used to do that as a child. And my memory of those times just started to come back. And I remembered how much I loved it. And I took some pictures. And what I also remembered is that the neighbor who lived next door to us, Oma Sniffle is what I called her, she was a florist. And she arranged flowers the whole time. And I spent so much time with her. So I took pictures, I sent it to my mother. I said, all those times that I spent with Oma Sniffle, it yielded something. Look at my pretty arrangements. And the cherry on top for me was my mother then sent those pictures on to Oma Sniffle. I didn't even know that she was still alive. And she sent a message back to me. And she said, oh, how I remember. And I remember this, and I remember that, and I remember that. And she gave this list of things of what I used to do with this type of flower and with that type of flower. And in that moment, I just had so much redemption of the pain of the past. And now you must see me. There's flowers in my garden. I cut them, I arrange them, I make things for people. So when your hope is in God, it's not only for the future, it's also for the redemption of the painful past. So if that's you tonight, allow me to pray with you. Please join me afterwards so that we can spend some time with it. I want to touch on just that inner adorning. Like when we are young ladies, I know we have a desire to meet our husbands. And when we are young married couples, we have a desire to have children. We always have I was like that. Always had a desire for the next phase in my life. And I remember when I was single, God constantly spoke to me and said, don't awaken love until it pleases. Don't awaken love until it pleases. And I was really focusing on the inner beauty of allowing God to shape me and form my identity as a single female and being prepared in that space. And then one day I was reading in Song of Solomon, the end of chapter 4, it's literally, I think, verse 16, the last verse in the chapter. It says, come, O north wind, come, O south wind, blow over my garden, awaken all the spices in my garden. And I just sense God speaking to me and saying, like, your garden is a pleasure to me. And he enjoyed my garden so much. And then the start of chapter 5 in the New King James Version, it says, to his friends. And then he invites his friends into that garden. And to the single ladies here tonight, I want to say to you, wait until God invites his friend into your garden. Wait until he brings that one into your heart. Don't try and search for that person the whole time. So it's because of that scripture that in the vals ring, daar staan vriend van God. You know what? Because God, he is a friend of God, and God brought him into my garden. And when things got tough, I could say to God, he's yours. And I trust you. And I trust you. And I know you laugh, but it was a defining thing. If I didn't realize that, we would not be together anymore. Because that was the thing, because I could trust in God, I could feel secure, and I could align myself to the word and respond in a biblical way, even though things were painful for me. So I think I'm going to stop there and leave you with, cultivate in your life a hope in God, a fearlessness, a security in Christ, and an inner adornment. Okay. So this is something I made up. And I made a joke about it this morning. I asked the vault to come and theologically check it for me to make sure it's sound. But it's something that I realized when he started teaching our elders when he became a man. Maynard wears a size 12 shoe. I do a 5. So he's much bigger than what I am. He's louder than what I am. And his dad took him one side and said, I want to teach you to value the voice of the feminine. Because you are now louder than what she is. But you need to learn to value the voice of the feminine. And what I wrote here, I said, if the feminine regards the lead of the masculine, we will learn to follow God. And if the masculine regards the comfort and the nurture brought by the feminine, they will learn to receive it from the Holy Spirit. So when we move in our rightful places where God designed us to operate, it becomes an upward spiral where we point one another to Jesus. And if that can happen in your home, in your friendships, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, imagine the society we'll live in.
Yes, I also think that's mooi. So, we are halfway there. You'll get home at 9. So, I want to share, just regarding the masculine quickly, and Now we're getting into building, and I'm going to speak a little bit more to the males now, but we are all building. Just quickly, just to lay a little bit of foundation, we serve a God that builds. Genesis 1:26, you know, our origin, our meaning, our purpose, male and female are in God. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, heavens, and everything. Okay, so we have dominion. And when we think about the fallen nature of dominion, it's bad. But in the garden, it was good to have dominion, to nurture, to care for, to look after, to steward. You know, that is what we were given. And that didn't turn out that good because of the fall, because dominion was distorted. But we find it in the end of the Bible, hallelujah for that, Revelation 21 verse 5, and it says there, and he was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Now, he didn't say, I'm making new things. He said, I'm making all things new. Renewing. All of you that know Jesus, you are renewed in spirit. But you are still fallen and your flesh suck. Okay? It's still the same you. This earth will be renewed. I'm looking forward to that. But God is building and God is using us as his people and as his church, male and female, to build. God has called us to build. Just listen to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 14. Paul writes and he says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed to how he builds on it. That's just a question for you. How are you building on the foundation? All of us are building. How are you building on it at this moment? For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. How are you building? Gold, silver, it doesn't matter, even hay, in faith, will stand the test of fire. How are you building? Now, going on from there, God has given us all gifts, a lot of gifts and wonderful things, but Ephesians 4 verse 7 specifically says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led the host captive, and he gave gifts to men. And then I said, they skip the brackets, because there's brackets. Then after the brackets, we get to the gifts. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So building is something that we need to do. Now, when we, all of us, male and female, when we, in this gifting that God has given us, apostles, prophet, whatever you are, if you start competing in the church, what happens? There's no building. There's breaking. And then the next one, when we as male and female forget that we should be building and we start competing, what happens? Destruction. You see it everywhere. The world is fraught with destruction at the moment because of competitiveness between the sexes. If we as God's people forget that we were made in a certain way and God's command for us is to build, but we start competing, we break. We break down and we see it. Now, let me jump because I know my wife has taken all of my time. It doesn't happen often. That's okay. Ek het geweet jy gaan meer praat vandag, so that's great. We need to do that. Then I spoke about the feminine, and I want to challenge some of you guys, because this is my story, and Danelle has spoken about it very graciously. When I look at our marriage, the reason that I married her was I can't even remember what we were fighting about when we were still dating. And then something was wrong, and then I was waiting for this emotional, overbearing, sucking dry of the life out of me type of response. Okay? And she comes to me because her hope was in God always. And she comes to me and she says, listen, I've spent time with God, and this is what I feel, and this is where I've missed it. And I'm like, maar jou wil ek trou. I want to marry you. Not just because she's beautiful and wonderful, but for the first time I felt it doesn't depend on me. She is secure in her Lord, and I can enter into this garden, hallelujah, which the Lord invited me into. Anyway, but men, let me speak to you as the masculine. And that's something that I've done with my boys. Well, I've started with Maynard. He's, you know, a little bit further on. My second one is turning 12 now. So then we've got a year for preparation. And the question was, for me, you know, what is masculine? What is a man? And it's great if you can answer those things as a pastor. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can answer theologically until the Lord gives you kids. Jesus is very gracious to us because you can't theologically explain stuff to them and they're like, oh, okay. They don't do that. They ask you, why? Because the Bible says so. Show me. Show me what the man is. Show me, Daddy. And then I started to walk this journey with Maynard, and I became a better father, obviously, and a better husband because of this journey that I've been on in this last while. So here's some of the things that I've learned. True masculinity, number one, rejects passivity. True masculinity rejects passivity. Passivity means that when there's something that needs to be done and you don't do it, you play games till 3 o'clock in the night. That, gentlemen, is passivity. Where you imagine that you're fighting, but you're not. It is a facade. But check what Jesus says about passivity. For all of us, actually. He says, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. Would you have been cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm, passive, neither here nor there. Draad sitter. A wire sitter. Neither hot nor cold. I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus doesn't like lukewarmness, passivity. And I'm not going to read that. You can read 1 Kings 17 to 19, the whole story about Ahab and Jezebel. We always speak a lot about Jezebel, but the fact that Jezebel could reign in the way that she did is because she had a passive husband. He wasn't a weak one. He conquered many nations. But in the space where he needed to lead, where he needed to take action, where he needed to be with his wife as a man, he didn't. He was passive. And then all other things can reign there. We shouldn't be passive, number one. Number two, true masculinity expects God's greater reward. It's not about the things that you get from this world. If you know as a man that your ultimate rewards comes from Jesus and you expect his reward. And ladies and gentlemen, it's fine to tell one another the good things about us. We have an ego, okay? It's good. But we shouldn't put our trust in that. Like Danel said, you and I should expect God's greater reward. Matthew 6, 3 and 4, it says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that by giving, your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God will not just reward you when you see him one day. I have been rewarded multiple times in this life already by God. And I expect his reward. Ultimately also. But when you do that, you've got a different mindset in life. Where you know that your ultimate reward is not from man, but from God. And this is why you do what you do. Number three, true masculinity takes responsibility. The Lord said to Cain, Genesis 4, 6, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Gentlemen, you must rule over it. Take responsibility for your life, because as a man, as masculine, you have got to take responsibility for others. You will become an elder, even if you're not married. Aspire to be an elder, where you take responsibility and covering for a community, because that's what men do. You cover, you protect, you seek the wellness of others above your own. Take responsibility for your own life firstly. You know, and Danel helped me a lot, especially with my addiction with pornography and how it almost killed us. But if I hadn't had the resolve in my heart that I know that I needed to fix this, take responsibility for my life and win this with the help of my friend and my wife, I wouldn't have been here today. We need to take responsibility as the masculine. And then number four, last one. True masculinity leads and serves courageously. John 13. When he had washed their feet, Jesus now, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also have to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Jesus says to me and to you, do as I've done. Lead and serve courageously. But bringing it back to what Danel said in the beginning, when you, as the masculine, are submitted wholeheartedly to God, it's very easy to lead and to serve. You will not become bloated when you lead, and you will not feel degraded when you serve, because you're expecting God's greater reward. And what you are doing is ultimately for Him. And you can lay yourself down easy for the people around you, because you're a man. And that's what I teach my boys. So that when somebody asks him, what is a man? They can tell you what a man is. Because mostly if you ask men, what is a man? They can't tell you what masculine men are. So in building, I want to encourage you guys, masculine, feminine, God has given us the ways and the means to build in different ways. As you can see, hopefully, Danielle and I are a little bit different in a lot of ways. But what we have found, and especially in the last while, as we're ministering together, we are powerful beyond measure because of what God has done between the two of us, how He's taught us to build together. She as the feminine and me as masculine, so that other people can come and see the goodness of God, hearts be changed, and all of those things. So let's stand tonight as we finish. I want to read this last scripture to you. And it's especially for the men. Again, it's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14. It says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Let us be men like that, that acts like men, that are watchful, that stands firm in the faith, that are strong, but everything that we do is done in love. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can come tonight, God. And Lord, as Danielle and I have spoken, Lord, thank you that you have opened hearts here this evening. Father, I pray, Lord, that the masculine, God, and the feminine, Lord, will get their rightful place, oh God, that everyone that is here, God, will turn to you and say, God, help me to become what you've already made me to be. Lord, that those of us that kind of feel a little bit confused, God, will tonight see the hope, Lord, that there is in Christ. And become, Lord, just more and more as you have made us to be. So, Father, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, for all the gentlemen here. And, God, I pray specifically, Lord, for them that are standing here and, God, that are passive, not taking responsibility, Lord God, not really expecting your greater reward, not leading, God, not serving as men ought to do. Father, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that tonight it ends, God. That there will be a turning, Lord God, to become the masculine men, Lord God, that you have made us to be. Because there's safety, God, when men lead courageously, safely knowing, Lord God, they are submitted unto you. And God, then there's this wonderful thing that happens between masculine and feminine, Lord God, that leads, Lord God, but then the feminine, Lord God, that nurtures and builds, God, in a different way. And Father, as we are here, God, I pray, Lord, that especially as Danella said, I pray, Lord God, also for the feminine. God, I pray, Lord, that you will restore the power, Lord God, of gentleness to our women. Lord, that every heart here, and especially, Lord God, those that have gotten hurt will be restored, Lord. Like you've restored Danella's life, Lord God, and heart, and even given back so many things. The same will happen tonight, so that we can have feminine, godly, powerful women roaming the streets, Lord God, seeing, Lord God, the men and not being afraid of them leading. And Father, being what you've created them to be, but Lord, that they can be free to be what you've created the women to be as well, Lord.
Father, thank you that it's never too late. I just sense that there's some of us here tonight that you feel like it's too late. It's too far down the road for you, whether that's immense, immense just loneliness in Psalm 8, whether that's a distrust in God. I just hear the words achterdochtig, like you've become so distrustful in God because of the pain. And tonight we just We just bring that pain before you, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and you will touch that traumatic events now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I access my faith that you will come and you bring healing into those painful pasts. Thank you that you are ever present and that you redeem our lives from the destructive patterns that comes out of that hurt. Lord, we renounce tonight those destructive patterns that's becoming part of us. We say they no longer fit. They no longer belong. Go in Jesus' name. I pray that you come as the balm of Gilead tonight and that you work and speak tenderly to your people. And as we are lying in our blood, you cover us, Lord. Thank you that your healing doesn't take place in a shameful place. Lord, and I just renounce shame over these lives and say it's never too late. It's never too late. And I just sense that there's some ladies here and you are struggling as a female, you're struggling with sexual sin, whether that's masturbation or pornography. And you are believing the lie that you're not even having the right sins because you're having like manly sins. We rebuke that lie in Jesus' name. And I say, Holy Spirit, come and bring comfort. Come and bring comfort. Come and bring comfort to your daughters in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that we will rise as holy women that are not fearful when frightening things come. And tonight we address all anxiety that wants to manifest in our hearts and our minds. And I say, be still in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that as we put our trust in you again, and again, that you renew in us a steadfast spirit again, that we will run and not grow weary. Lord, thank you that our light will be brighter than the noonday, that we will shine brightly as we cultivate your presence in our lives. Lord, I pray that you deliver us, you set us free, you restore us, and then, Lord, you anoint us afresh. In Jesus' name, we say yes, Lord, to living a life driven by the Spirit, compelled by the Spirit. We say yes to witnessing in the workplace. We say yes to living a life in an upside-down kingdom. We trust in you, Lord, not in men, not in our husbands, not in our jobs. All our security is found in you, the rock of ages. We lift you up tonight. And in our minds and our hearts, we elevate you to your rightful place of lordship. And we recognize that you alone are the head. And we surrender and submit and subject ourselves to your lordship. We choose to be bond servants. We are free to go, but we choose to stay, Lord. We choose to stay and surrender our lives as a living sacrifice unto you, for it's our reasonable service. And I pray, God, that you will restore joy in our hearts as we serve you. I pray that your presence and your word and your voice and your spirit will be rich in our lives. We will not be poor. Spiritually, we will be satisfied. Ons gaan drip van vettigheid. Soos die woord sê, we will be satisfied with your fullness all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name.
So as the band comes up, we want to pray for people. If the Lord has done something in your heart and you need prayer, I'm just going to hand back to Ross. And then we really want to pray with you, especially if you have been touched by the Lord, either in masculine or feminine hurts, please come to the front.
Ach, thank you, Deval. Thank you, Donnell. Amen. We're not going to applaud now because we're going to keep the space sacred. You recognize that it's 8 o'clock. If you need to go because you work tomorrow and you have to be up early or exam, feel free to go. But I want to invite some of the elders and some of the ministers, cell leaders, to come and help Deval and Danelle pray. Can the ladies please be on your right hand side and the men on my left hand side, your left hand side? And let's just come forward and minister. Receive healing. Receive ministry from God. Expect a touch from God. Okay. Amen. The Lord bless you.